A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and it's a weird one, even by our standards. He wants us to coach a complete beginner, someone who has never written a single line of code, through building a working Python program from scratch, using only our voices. No screen share, no diagrams, no, as you can see, just two voices in a podcast feed and a listener at a keyboard. We have to pick a program, narrate every character, every punctuation mark, every indent, and get them to something that actually runs. He suggested a few options. Tip calculator, temperature converter, guess the number game, word frequency counter. We're picking one, and committing.
I know exactly which one we should do. The guess the number game. It's genuinely the best choice for this format because it teaches the most foundational Python concepts in the fewest lines. You get importing modules, variables, user input, type conversion, conditionals, loops, f-strings, and at the end, the listener has something interactive and fun, not just a calculator that spits out a number. A minimal working version is 7 lines.
That's ambitious for audio-only instruction. I'm about to say open paren approximately 47 times in the next 20 minutes.
And by the way, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today, so let's see if it can handle this level of pedantic detail.
All right, let's do this. But first, before anyone types anything, we need to make sure the listener actually has Python installed and knows how to run a program. Because if we skip that, the next 20 minutes are just us reading code into the void.
So, listener, if you're following along, and I hope you are, open your terminal. On Windows, that's Command Prompt or PowerShell. On Mac, it's Terminal. On Linux, you already know what it is. Type this exactly, python3--version. That's Python 3, the number 3, space, 2 hyphens, the word version.
If you see something like Python 3.12.4 or similar, you're good. If you get command not found or something about Python 2.7, try it without the 3. Just python://version. Some systems use Python instead of Python 3.
If neither works, you need to install Python. Go to python.org, download the latest Python 3 release, install it. There's a checkbox during installation on Windows that says Add Python to PATH. Check that box. It saves headaches. We'll wait.
We won't actually wait. This is a podcast. But you, listener, go do that if you need to, then come back. Pause now if you're not set up yet.
Next, you need a text editor. Not Microsoft Word, not Google Docs. Those add formatting that breaks code. You need a plain text editor. On Windows, Notepad works fine. On Mac, TextEdit works, but you have to switch it to plain text mode. Go to Format, then make plain text, or just download VS Code, which is free and excellent in what I use. Anything that saves actual .txt files without bold or italics or fonts.
Once you have your editor open, save the file immediately. File save as, and name it guess.py. That .py extension is crucial. It tells your computer this is a Python file. Save it somewhere you can find it, like your desktop or a folder called Python Projects. Remember where you put it.
Now, in your terminal, you need to navigate to wherever you saved that file. If you saved it on your desktop, type cd /desktop and hit enter. CD stands for change directory. If you saved it in a folder called Python Projects on your desktop, it's cd /desktop/Python Projects. You can type ls on Mac or Linux or dir on Windows to see the files in your current folder. You should see guess.py listed.
Once you're in the right folder, here's how you'll run your program every time we tell you to test it. Type python3 /guess.py and hit enter. If Python 3 doesn't work, try python/guess.py. But I'm going to say Python 3 throughout this episode because On Mac and Linux, Python without the 3 often invokes Python 2, which will break everything we're about to do.
Alright, prerequisites done. Let's write some code. Open guess.py in your text editor. We're building this in 5 stages, and after each stage you're going to save the file, switch to your terminal, run it, and see what happens. Stage 1 is the smallest possible program. Hello world. Type this exactly.
Here we go. P-R-I-N-T open paren. Quote, H-E-L-L-O comma space W-O-R-L-D exclamation mark. Quote, close paren.
Let me break that down. The word print, all lowercase. Then an open parenthesis, shift 9 on most keyboards. Then a quote mark. You can use single or double quotes, but pick one and stick with it. I use double quotes. Then capital H-E-L-L-L-O, comma, space W-O-R-L-D, exclamation mark. Then the closing quote. Then a close parenthesis, shift 0. That's the entire line.
What this does, print is a built-in Python function that displays text on the screen. The parentheses contain what you want to print. The quotes tell Python this is text, a string, in programming terms. Without quotes, Python would think hello and world are variable names and get confused.
Save the file. Switch to your terminal. Make sure you're in the right directory. Type python3 space guess.py. You should see hello world printed on the screen. If you do, congratulations, you just ran your first Python program. If you see an error, check that your quotes match. Your parentheses are both there, and you spelled print correctly.
If you see something about Python 3 not found, remember what I said earlier. Try just Python instead. The important thing is that when you run it, you're getting Python version 3, not version 2.
We're going to introduce the random module and generate a secret number. Delete everything in guess.py and type these lines. Line 1, import space random. Line 2, secret space equals space random dot r. A-N-D-I-N-T, open paren 1, comma space, 100, close paren. Line 3, print, open paren secret, close paren. Line by line. First line, import, all lowercase space, random. This tells Python, I want to use the random module. A module is a collection of pre-written code that does something useful. The random module generates random numbers. Importing it is like taking a book off the shelf. It makes all its functions available to your program.
Second line, secret space equals space random dot randint, open paren, the number 1 comma space the number 100 close paren. Secret is a variable name. We're creating a labeled box called secret and putting something in it. The equal sign means assign what's on the right to what's on the left. Randint is a function from the random module. Randint stands for random integer. The numbers in parentheses, 1 and 100, are the range. It'll pick a random whole number between 1 and 100 inclusive.
Third line, print, open paren s, ecret, close paren. Same print function, but this time we're printing the value stored in the secret variable, not a quoted string. No quotes around secret. If you wrote print open paren, quote, secret, quote, close paren, it would print the literal word secret instead of the random number. The difference between a variable name and a string is one of the most important distinctions in programming.
Save the file. Run it with Python 3 guess.py. You should see a random number between 1 and 100. Run it again. You should see a different number. If you see the same number every time, you might have typed the variable name wrong or put quotes around it. Check your spelling.
Here's a preemptive note about spelling. Variable names in Python are case-sensitive and spelling-sensitive. S-E-C-R-E-T is not the same as S-E-C-R-E-T-S or S-E-C-R-E-A-T. If you misspell a variable name, Python will throw a name error. It'll say, name is not defined. That's Python's way of saying, I don't know what you're talking about. So type variable names carefully and use the same spelling every time.
Now we're going to get input from the user. Replace your file with these lines. Line 1, import space random. Line 2, secret space equals space random dot randondint open paren 1, comma space 100, close paren. Line 3. GUESS space equals space INT open paren INPUT. Open paren, quote, GUESS space a space NUMBER, colon space close paren close paren. Line 4. PRINT open paren, quote, YOU space GUESSED colon, quote, comma, space GUESS close paren.
That third line is dense. Let me unpack it. GUESSS space equals space INT open paren INPUT open paren quote capital GUESS space a space NUMBER colon space close quote close paren close paren. There are two closing parentheses at the end, one for int, one for input.
Here's what's happening. Input is a function that displays a prompt to the user and waits for them to type something and press enter. Whatever they type comes back as a string, always a string even if they type digits. So if the user types 50, input returns the string 50, not the number 50. That's a critical distinction. A string is text. An integer is a number you can do math with.
That's why we wrap input in int open paren, close paren. Int converts a string to an integer, so int open paren, quote 50, quote close paren, gives you the actual number 50. Without that conversion, if you later try to compare the user's guess to the secret number, Python would be comparing a string to an integer, and they are never equal. 50 does not equal 50. Type conversion is something you'll do constantly in Python.
The fourth line prints what the user guessed, just so we can verify everything is working. PRINT. Open paren quote YOU space GUASSED colon space close quote comma space GUASS close paren. Notice the comma between the quoted string and the variable name. That tells print to output two things, the text and then the value.
Save the file. You should see guess a number and a blinking cursor. Type a number, press enter. You should see you guessed followed by the number you typed. If you type something that's not a number, like the word hello, the program will crash with a value error. That's fine for now. We're building towards something more robust.
Now we add the actual game logic, checking whether the guess is correct. Replace your file with this. Line 1, IMPORT, space RANDOM. Line 2, SECRET, space equals space RANDOM dot RANDINT. Open paren 1 comma space 100 close paren. Line 3 GUESS space equals space ENT open paren INPUT. Open paren quote GUESS space ENUMBER colon space close paren line 4 IF space GUESS space equals space SECRET colon. Line 5, indent 4 spaces, PRINT, open paren, quote CORRECT, exclamation mark, close paren. Line 6, ELSE colon. Line 7, indent 4 spaces, PRINT, open paren, quote WRONG, exclamation mark, space, THE space NUMBER space WAS colon, quote comma, space SECRET, close paren.
This is where the structure of Python really matters. Line 4, IF space GUESSS space equals space SECRET colon. That's two equal signs, not one. One equal sign means assignment. Put this value in that variable. Two equal signs means comparison. Are these two things equal? This is probably the single most common beginner mistake. If you write if guess equals secret with one equal sign, Python will give you a syntax error because you can't assign a value inside an if statement.
The colon at the end of if guess equals secret colon. That colon is essential. Forgetting it is the number one syntax error beginners hit. Python uses the colon to say, a block of code is starting here. If you forget it, you'll get a syntax error, and the error message will often point at the next line, which is confusing. The actual problem is the missing colon on the line above.
After the colon, you press enter and then indent 4 spaces. On line 5, you type print open paren quote correct exclamation mark close paren. That indentation is not optional and it's not decorative. In Python, indentation is how the language knows which lines belong to the if block. If a line is indented under an if statement, it only runs when the condition is true. Most languages use curly braces for this. Python uses indentation. Four spaces is the standard. You can use a tab, but you must be consistent. Mixing tabs and spaces will cause an indentation error, and it's a nightmare to debug because you can't see the difference.
Line 6 is ELS E colon. No condition, just the word else and a colon. This is the otherwise branch. If the guess was not equal to the secret, whatever is indented under else will run. Then line 7, indented 4 spaces, print, open parent quote, WRONG, exclamation mark, space THE, space NUMBER, space, WACE colon quote, comma space SECRET, close parent. This reveals the secret number so the user can see what it was.
Guess a number. If you guess correctly, you'll see correct. If you guess wrong, you'll see wrong. The number was and the number. You only get one guess. We'll fix that next.
If you see an indentation error or unexpected indent, check that your indentation is exactly 4 spaces, that you didn't accidentally add extra spaces before lines that shouldn't have them, and that you didn't mix tabs and spaces. If your text editor has a setting to convert tabs to spaces, turn that on. In VS Code, there's a little thing in the bottom right that says spaces or tab. Click it and set it to spaces.
Stage 5, the final version. We're going to wrap the guessing in a while loop so the user can keep guessing until they get it right, and we're going to add too high and too low. Hence, this is the full game. Replace your file with this. I'll go slow.
Line 1, I'm EPORT space RANDOM. Line 2, blank line, just hit enter. This is for readability. Line 3, CECRET space equals space RANDOM dot RANDINT open paren 1 comma space 100 close paren. Line 4, blank line. Line 5, WHILE space TRUE colon, capital T untrue.
While true colon. While is a loop keyword. It means keep doing this as long as the condition is true. True with a capital T is a special value that is always true. So while true colon creates an infinite loop, it'll run forever unless we explicitly break out of it. This is the standard pattern for a game loop where you don't know in advance how many times it needs to run.
Line 6, indent 4 spaces, GUESSS space equals space INT open parent INPU, T open parent quote, GUESS space, a space NUMBER space open parent 1-100 close parent, colon space close parent close parent. Line 7, indent 4 spaces. IF space GUESS S space equals equal space S ECRET colon.
Line 8, indent 8 spaces. That's 2 levels, 8 spaces total. PRINT open parent quote CORRECT exclamation mark close parent. Line 9, indent 8 spaces. BREAK, the break keyword immediately exits the innermost loop. So when the guess is correct, we print correct and then break out of the while loop, which ends the program.
Line 10, indent 4 spaces, back to 1 level, ELIF space GUESSS space, less than space SECRET colon. ELIF is short for else if. It means otherwise, check this condition. The less than symbol is shift comma on most keyboards. Line 11, indent 8 spaces, PRINT open paren, quote, TOO space LOW exclamation mark close paren.
Line 12, indent 4 spaces, ELS E colon. This else catches everything that wasn't equal and wasn't less than, which means the guess must be greater than the secret. Line 13, indent 8 spaces, PRINT open paren quote TOO space HIGH exclamation mark close paren.
That's it. That's the entire game in about 13 lines. Let me read the whole thing straight through so you can check your typing. Secret equals random.randint open paren 1 comma 1 comma 1 comma 100 close paren. While true colon. Guess equals int open paren input. Open paren quote. Guess a number open paren 1 dash 100 close paren colon close paren close paren. If guess equals equals secret colon. Print open paren quote. Correct exclamation mark, close paren. Elif guess less than secret colon. Print open paren quote. Too low exclamation mark, close paren. Print open paren quote. Too high exclamation mark, close paren.
Run it with Python 3 guess.py. You should be prompted to guess. Type a number. If it's too low, it'll tell you. If it's too high, it'll tell you. Keep guessing until you get it. When you do, it prints correct, and the program ends. You just built a working number guessing game.
Now, if you get a syntax error that says invalid syntax and points at the word elif or else, check the line above it. You probably forgot the colon on the if line or the elif line. That's the classic, the error is on the wrong line situation. Python doesn't realize you forgot the colon until it hits the next keyword that doesn't make sense without it.
If you get a type error about comparing string and int, you forgot to wrap input in int open paren close paren. Your guess variable is a string, and you're comparing it to an integer. Go back to the guess line and make sure it says int open paren, input open paren dot 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 close paren, two closing parentheses at the end.
If you see indentation error, check your spaces. Every line under while true should have exactly 4 spaces. Every line under if or elif or else should have exactly 8 spaces. Consistent spacing throughout.
Let's talk about why this program works the way it does, because understanding is different from just typing. The import random line gives us access to the random number generator. The secret variable stores the target number. We generate it once at the start and it stays the same for the whole game. The while true loop keeps asking for guesses until the player wins. Each guess gets converted from string to integer, compared to the secret, and we give feedback. When the guess matches, we break out of the loop.
The condition chain, if, elif, else, is, evaluated in order. First it checks if the guess equals the secret. If that's true, it runs the correct block and breaks. If not, it checks elif guess less than secret. If that's true, it prints too low. If neither condition was true, the else catches everything else, which must mean the guess is too high. Only one of these branches runs per guess.
We used elif rather than 3 separate if statements for a reason. If you wrote if guess equals equal secret, then if guess less than secret, then if guess greater than secret as 3 separate ifs, Python would check all 3 every time, even after the first one was true. With if elif, else, it stops checking after the first match. It's more efficient, and it prevents weird bugs where multiple branches could trigger.
No, is this the most polished version of this game? There's no input validation. If the user types banana, the program crashes with a value error. There's no attempt counter. There's no play again option. But this is a solid working foundation, and it's short enough that we could narrate every character on an audio podcast. That was the constraint.
Honestly, the fact that we got through that without the listener wanting to throw their computer out the window is kind of remarkable. Dictating code over audio is absurd. I just said open paren, close paren, more times than I have in the entire rest of my life combined. But the pedagogy is real. If you followed along, you now have a working Python program, and you understand variables, input, type conversion, conditionals, loops, and modules.
There's something interesting here about the constraint itself. Most coding tutorials lean heavily on visuals, screen share, diagrams. Look at this line here. When you take that away, you're forced to explain every concept in words. You can't point. You can't gesture. You have to say what something is and why it's there. In a weird way, the audio-only constraint might produce better teaching for certain concepts, because nothing gets glossed over.
I think that's true. And it opens up a whole category of content that barely exists right now. There are hundreds of Python podcasts. Talk Python to Me, Real Python Podcast, Python Bytes. But they're all about discussing Python, not teaching it hands-on. An audio-only coding workout, something you could do during a commute or while walking, would be new. And for visually impaired learners, it's not a gimmick, it's accessibility.
The tricky part is that some Python syntax is hard to narrate. We kept things simple. We didn't use ternary expressions. We didn't do nested list comprehensions. We didn't touch decorators. Try narrating a one-liner like print open paren. Quote, too low exclamation mark, close quote. Space if space. Guess space less than space secret. Space else space quote. Too high exclamation mark, close quote, close paren. It's valid, Python. It's concise. But saying it out loud is a tongue twister. We opted for the more verbose if-elif-else structure, partly because it's clearer for a beginner, but also because it's more narratable.
which raises a question about what Audible Python would look like as a dialect. If you were designing a programming language specifically to be taught over audio, you'd probably make different syntax choices. Fewer symbols, more keywords. But that's a whole other episode.
All right, before we wrap up the coding portion, listener, if you got stuck at any point, here are the most common failure points and how to fix them. 1. Forgot the colon after if, elif, else, or while. The error message will point at the next line. Go back and add the colon. 2. Mix tabs and spaces. Your editor might be inserting tabs when you press tab. Change the setting to insert spaces instead. 3. Ran Python instead of Python 3. On Mac and Linux, Python often means Python 2, which uses different print syntax. 4. Forgot to convert input to int. Your comparisons will silently fail because strings and integers are never equal. Wrap input in int, open paren, close paren.
5. Misspelled a variable name. S-E-C-R-E-T is not S-E-C-R-E-A-T. Python is case sensitive and spelling sensitive. If you get a name error, check your spelling. 6. Unmatched parentheses. Every open paren needs a close paren. If you get a syntax error at the end of a line or on the next line, count your parentheses.
If you want to extend this game on your own, here are a few things you could try. Add an attempt counter. Create a variable called attempts set to 0 at the start, increment it by 1 each guess, and print it when they win. Add input validation. Use a try except block to catch the value error when someone types non-numeric input. Add a play again option. Wrap the whole game in another loop that asks if they want to play again. These are all natural next steps that build on what you've already learned.
The key insight, the thing I hope sticks with you beyond this specific program, is that programming is fundamentally about breaking a problem into small pieces and solving each piece in order. We didn't write the whole game at once. We wrote Hello World to verify Python worked. Then we generated a random number and printed it to verify the random module worked. Then we got user input and printed it to verify input and type conversion worked. Then we added a single if-else check. Then we wrapped it in a loop. Each step was testable and each step built on the previous one.
That's the real lesson. You don't write a program by typing everything and then running it once at the end. You build it piece by piece, running it constantly to make sure each new piece works before adding the next. That's not a beginner technique. That's how professional developers work. It's called incremental development, and it's the single most important habit you can form as a new programmer.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
A group of flamingos is called a flamboyance.
If you followed along, you now have a working Python program and you've been exposed to variables, user input, type conversion, conditionals, loops, and modules. That's a solid foundation. If you want to keep going, the next concepts to learn are functions, defining your own reusable blocks of code, and lists, which let you store multiple values in a single variable. Both of those are natural extensions of what we built today.
If you're thinking, I want more of this audio, only coding instruction, let us know. This was an experiment, a proof of concept that you can teach programming through a podcast. If it worked for you, if you actually ended up with a running game, we'd love to hear about it. And if you got stuck, we'd love to hear about that too, because it'll help us figure out how to do this better.
The broader point worth making is that learning to code has never been more accessible. Python is free. The tools are free, the documentation is free, the tutorials are free. The barrier isn't cost or access, it's finding an approach that clicks for you. Maybe audio works for you, maybe video works, maybe reading works. The important thing is to find your medium and then just start building things.
Smaller than you think. Hello, world small. The biggest mistake beginners make is trying to build something ambitious on day one and getting overwhelmed. Build a thing that does one thing, then add one more thing, then add one more. That's how every complex program you've ever used was built, one small piece at a time.
Thanks to Hilbert Flumingtop for producing. This has been My Weird Prompts. You can find every episode, including this one, at myweirdprompts.com. If you built the game and it works, leave us a review and tell the world that audio-only coding instruction is not as insane as it sounds.
Or that it is exactly as insane as it sounds, but it works anyway. See you next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3, text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, my weird prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.